turn back tonight in the Word of God to Acts chapter 18. Thank the musicians for playing this morning and this evening. Acts chapter 18. It's really the words of verses 4 to 6 that we're going to consider as Paul comes to Corinth. He preaches the gospel. Verses 4 to 6 of Acts 18 will be our focus tonight. But with the Word of God before us, let us again join in prayer and seek God's face for his help tonight in the gospel. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for that truth which we have been singing of. We thank thee, Lord, that Jesus saves and his blood makes us whiter than snow. O Lord, tonight we're thankful for the blood of Christ which has been shed for rebels, Lord, shed for sinners, Lord, shed for me. We thank thee afresh for the cross and for the work of Christ. We thank thee for that fountain which has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. And, O Lord, tonight we pray in the gospel now as we come to consider this good news to our souls. O Lord, may you bless us tonight. Lord, fill me afresh with thy Spirit to preach the word of God with power. Lord, fill each one with thy Spirit to hear the word of God. Lord, come, convict some heart of their sin. Lord, come and bring salvation to some soul. And may we glory tonight in a soul being saved for time and for eternity. O Lord, come and do thy own work now and glorify thy Son in all things, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we enter into Acts 18 this evening, we come to encounter the Apostle Paul on one of his great missionary journeys. The closing passage of Acts 17 records for us the well-known scene of Paul presenting the gospel in Athens on Mars Hill. We read in the previous chapter of how he addresses their worship in verse 23 of the unknown God. And he clearly shows the Greeks of their idolatry and of their pagan worship. And there Paul boldly proclaims Christ to his congregation there on Mars Hill. Of course, it was the custom of the Apostle Paul wherever he went to preach Christ. We see that from Acts 17 and the verse 2, which tells us, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." It was Paul's manner, Paul's custom, or Paul's routine, if you like, wherever he went, to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and to preach and to reason out of the Word of God. Acts 18 now brings us to find Paul traveling from Athens now into Corinth. He remains in Greece, but comes onto the city of Corinth, another prominent city, and he goes there in order to advance the message of the gospel. And our aim tonight should be that of the Apostle Paul's, that wherever we would be, that we would minister and we would spread the good news of the gospel. And therefore our text tonight brings us to verses 4 and 6, where we find Paul in the midst of preaching out of the Scriptures. These words give us an insight into the ministry of Paul and shows us an example of a man that was burdened for the souls of the lost around him. And as we come to these words tonight, I want us to see them in the gospel and learn how these words really show us how gospel preaching is so important and still so relevant and vital even in the day in which we live tonight. And so our subject this evening is very simply principles for gospel preaching. We find some principles for the preaching of the gospel in these verses. The first principle that we learn tonight is that gospel preaching must be guided by the Spirit. Gospel preaching must be guided by the Spirit. One of the most fundamental points that's often overlooked is when it comes to the work of the Lord and in preaching is the role of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this morning, we spent some time in the study of the Holy Spirit and how he empowers, he instructs, and he enables us. We said this morning that often the preaching of the Spirit is sidelined, and yet I trust afresh that today already we've seen how necessary the Spirit of God is if we are to preach and we are to witness and work for the Lord. In verse number 5, we read about the Spirit. And we read in verse number 5, in the midst of that chapter, that Paul was pressed in the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Paul was pressed in the Spirit. And there's two ways we can interpret those words tonight. Both are valid interpretations. The first mention that could be that this Spirit that is spoken of in verse number 5 really relates to Paul's very own spirit within him. It relates to his trouble and the sorrow, the burden that he had as he looked around and saw how many there were rejecting Christ. That's one interpretation. But the other one is that Paul was stirred up. Paul was pressed by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. That Spirit, of course, which gave him power, which gave him boldness that he needed in order to preach about Christ. And that's the idea that we want to look at tonight. That we are to be guided, led, and controlled by the Spirit in gospel preaching. It's absolutely vital, not just for the preacher in the pulpit, but for any Christian seeking to work for the Lord. Whatever ministry tonight you might be involved in this church, it is necessary that we have the Spirit of God, His enablement, if we are to do anything for Him. And yet we might ask tonight, well, what does it mean to be guided by the Spirit? What does it mean to live a life that's led by the Spirit of God? What does it mean by Paul being pressed in the Spirit? Well, we notice two things. We notice, first of all, that the Spirit provides direction. The Spirit gives direction in our lives. As we have said, the book of Acts it's full of many wondrous accounts of those apostles who witnessed and preached for the Lord and saw mighty revivals and mighty workings of God in the day in which they lived. But one thing that marked out those men and those apostles was that they were all led and used by God in their ministries. You see, it's not a natural thing for sinful man to speak about Christ. It's not our tendency in sin to think about the Lord or to desire Him or to speak for Him. No, instead, the Spirit has to stir our hearts in order that we would proclaim and preach about the Lord. You think about the necessity of the Spirit for salvation. We're not able to save ourselves. We need the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so as the Word is preached, the Spirit uses it and to apply it to our hearts. And we've seen this morning the Spirit alone can bring pardon, can bring conviction for our sin, and can draw us on to the Savior. And so we see that the Spirit in salvation directs us away from sin and then directs us unto the Lord in saving faith. And of course, there is the need also for the child of God, that you and I would be directed by the Spirit of God. It is for that reason that we constantly read in Acts of the Spirit leading the apostles. And turn with me back to Acts chapter 16, and we'll see how this is the case. Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul and Silas here, seeking to witness for the Lord. In verse number 7 of Acts 16, we read these words. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Here we see that these men were essaying to go to Bithynia. That word essayed means they were endeavoring to go to Bithynia. Here Paul and Silas had in their minds Bithynia as the next destination that they were to go to in order to spread the gospel. They had made their plans and preparations to go to that place, but then we read, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, the Spirit of God impeded them and prohibited them. It was not God's plan that they would go to Bithynia to minister. We may ask why. Well, we see why in verse number 9 of Acts 16. Because of course, Paul received that great vision of the Macedonia call. You see, whilst Paul had desired to go to Bithynia to spread the gospel, God had a greater plan for his ministry. It was to take Paul to Macedonia. It was to take Paul and Silas into the continent of Europe, into Philippi, where they would see converts won to Christ, where Lydia would be the convert in Europe, and where eventually they would lead to them to a Philippian jail cell, where they would see another jailer won to the Lord. So we see the sense of direction here. They had made their plans to go to another place. The Spirit suffered them not and led them into Macedonia, showing the will of God. And often in our own lives, if we apply that, we can make our own plans. We can make our own ambitions for life, plan out our future. And yet how often does the Lord step in and overrule in our circumstances? How often do we make plans and yet the Lord has greater and different plans for our life? The same could be said for myself personally. Plans for the future, plans for occupation and employment, and yet the Lord steps in, shows his will, calls into ministry. The ways of God are not our ways, but the ways of God are higher above our ways. And so we see in all of our lives, there is that guiding of the Spirit. There's that need to seek out, what is the will of God for my life? Where would the Spirit of God lead me to be? I know that we would be guided and be in the center of the will of God. The Spirit gives us direction. The Spirit also gives us discernment. Discernment in the things of God. Christ said in John 16, verse 13, the Spirit of truth has come, and he will guide you into all truth. One of the functions of the Spirit is to lead us into what is true. And that's vital when it comes to gospel preaching. It's vital when we come to hear about the Word of God that we come to hear truth preached. And when we are following the Spirit and obedient to him, he will never lead us into error, but he will lead us into all truth. He is the one that we need in order to discern, in order to understand Scripture, that we might rightly divide the Word of God. And so when we read in Acts 18, verse 5, that Paul was pressed in the Spirit, he was a man that was directed, but he was a man that had discernment and wisdom through the Lord. That little verb, pressed, in verse number 5, means to be taken hold of. It means to be arrested like a prisoner. The image is that Paul's life was arrested and completely taken hold of by the Spirit of God. His ministry was one that was controlled by God. That's the thing that gave him power. That's the thing that allowed him to speak boldly of Christ time and time again. That was the reason he was able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was a man that knew the gospel power. He was a man who once was unconverted, had a hatred towards the gospel, and yet when the Lord stepped in and saved him, he gave him a burden to reach others with that message. Paul knew the transforming power of the gospel, and therefore he desired to spread it to others. And that's what we do tonight. We spread the power and the message of the gospel. So many tonight, all who are saved, can testify to that moment where the Lord stepped in. The Lord saved them from sin. And it's our desire tonight for those who know not Christ that you would come. You would experience salvation in your own heart. The Spirit is needful for salvation. John 3, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we see gospel preaching must be guided by the Spirit. Secondly, we see in our portion tonight, gospel preaching must be grounded in the Scriptures. Grounded in the Scriptures. That's fundamental when it comes to preaching. It's a very basic and fundamental fact, yet it's something that we must consider tonight and we must study, because the authority of what we have to preach and proclaim is not our own words, not our own ideas. It's the Word of God which we are to preach. And we see here in Corinth that Paul preached the full counsel of God. We can consider the source of Paul's preaching. What was the source of it? Well, of course, it was the Word of God. Paul preached the truth. He preached the gospel. Of course, we realize at this time, Paul did not have the full canon of Scripture. He didn't have the Scripture in its entirety from Genesis to Revelation. Yet what Paul did have was a knowledge of the Jewish law. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained in the Mosaic law. He knew the law of Moses. He was also one who had an eyewitness account of Christ, for on the road of Damascus, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord following his resurrection. And so he had an eyewitness account of the Lord as well, along with the word of God. And that was the source for his preaching. Paul didn't preach his own message. Paul didn't preach his own imaginations. He didn't preach some motivational, lighthearted message in order to lift up the people who were listening. No, it was Paul's aim to simply preach Christ. The text behind me, written by Paul in 1 Corinthians, "We preach Christ crucified." That was Paul's subject. The source, the subject of Paul's preaching was Christ. The Word of God makes it so clear that Christ must needs be preached and lifted up if men are to be drawn unto him in salvation. And we see that Paul speaks of Christ in verse number 5. Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll discover that in verse 5, we can read that closing phrase that he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. You see, his entire sermon was based upon the Lord, and that's no different for us tonight. We come to speak about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. And Paul was concerned here of showing the Jews and the Greeks the person of Christ, that he was a unique person. He was both God and he was both man in one person. He was the only mediator between God and man. He was the only redeemer that could save them from sin. That's his person. There was also his work. No doubt Paul preached about the cross, the life of obedience that Christ lived, the finished work. And you see that word Christ at the end of verse 5. It means in the Greek, the Messiah, or the anointed one. The anointed one or the appointed one. And that word Christ in Scripture always shows us how Christ was the one appointed by God the Father in eternity past to be the Redeemer and the Savior of his chosen people. The Father chose the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so Christ is the only one, because he's the only one that is sinless, perfect, lived that perfect life that we couldn't live, and that one who paid the penalty of sin that we cannot pay on the cross. That's the subject of Paul's preaching, and we see this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This chapter really is Paul's defense of the resurrection of Christ. And there's a great summary of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 3 and 4. This really was the subject of all of Paul's ministry. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul could say, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." There's his source, according to the Scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." His source, his subject, was that Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again the third day. What a great summary of the gospel. Centers all on the work of Christ, his incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation, all thinking about Christ and all the work he has done on our behalf. And that's exactly what Paul preached at Corinth in Acts 18. He spoke of the Savior. That's the message you need tonight if you're in your sin. You need to hear about Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, "A sermon without Christ is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it." No Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home and never preach again until you have something and someone worth preaching. We must lift up Christ every time we come to Scripture, because Scripture is all about Him. And what better subject tonight? What better subject to speak about? How often do we go day by day through life? We find ourselves talking about things and different subjects that really maybe might not be interesting to us, and we're always seeking to bring that conversation over to the Lord. We're always seeking to get to that greatest subject we can speak about, of course, Christ. And that's the message which we desire to preach tonight. We desire to preach Him. We desire to lift up Him. As I was studying this verse and these verses for tonight, my mind turned to the words of 1 Timothy. And we read about how Paul, giving encouragement to the young minister Timothy, he talked about that time where the ears of men would be turned onto fables, would be turned away from the gospel onto false gospels, and how the true gospel would be sidelined. And how relevant is that today? The ears of men, itching ears, desiring to hear fables and stories over the truth of the gospel. The gospel in many ways is sidelined tonight. And yet that does not remove the need for it to be preached. That's more of a reason to preach the gospel. And so there's the source, the subject, and what about the style of Paul's preaching? The style of Paul's preaching. Paul was accused in many ways and rebuked by many believers that he wrote great epistles and great letters to the church, and yet when he came in the flesh and he preached, that he was weak in his preaching and in his teaching. And we always read of Paul's humility. He confesses openly that he's weak, he's unable, and yet we read how God is able to use those foolish things and those weak things of the world to contain those things which are mighty and which are wise. And so Paul was a man, yes, that felt his weakness, his inability, yet he was a man that preached with power and passion. Verse number 4 says he reasoned in the synagogue. Verse number 5 says he testified to the Jews. Verse number 4 again says he persuaded. He reasoned, he persuaded, he testified. These verbs give us an insight into the style of Paul's preaching. He didn't use enticing words of man to draw them in. He wasn't eloquent and over the top with his language. He was very straightforward and simple, and yet he preached powerfully. He reasoned. He debated things out. He went thoroughly through Scripture. He persuaded. He was convincing in his presentation. He testified. He testified of the truth of the gospel. Of course, his life was the greatest testimony. As the churches looked on and saw what the Lord had done with this man, this persecutor of Christians turned a great preacher. What a testimony that Paul had. And no doubt our style of preaching can vary from person to person. And maybe each week you have a different person coming along and their preaching technique is maybe different, the way they lay out the sermon, maybe how they speak and they present. The method changes, the man might change, but the message never changes. It's still the same message, the same gospel. That remains the same. We can't compromise on that. We're to be instant in season, out of season, preaching what? The gospel of Christ. And so may we have a desire, a passion to preach, knowing that this is the message that can change a life. This is the message tonight that if you're in your sin, can save you from that sin, can bring you to Christ, can give you peace, can give you life eternal and everlasting in Him. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ alone is the way of salvation. We're told of the compassion of Christ in Scripture. He looked on those who were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. And we are to imitate Christ tonight if we are saved, that we would be more like Him. Do we have a compassion for the lost like the Lord? We read of the Lord weeping over the city of Jerusalem a man that was so burdened for the lost. Does it concern us tonight that there's family members in our own homes going to hell? Does it concern us that there's people we meet in our workplace day by day, they're rejecting Christ? Does it concern us? Or are we happy to know it's well for us and we don't desire to reach others? Oh, that God would give us a compassion for souls and a burden to go out and to reach a soul for Christ. You can be used of God tonight. You can be used of God wherever God has placed you. You don't have to be a preacher to speak a word in season. God can use your weak witness in his hands to reach a soul that might never come into a church or gospel service. Gospel preaching must be guided by the Spirit. It must be grounded in the Scriptures. But the final point tonight that we learn in verse number 6 is gospel preaching is not always guaranteed success. That's something we have to face tonight. Gospel preaching is not always guaranteed success. We've already seen tonight the Apostle Paul was a man who was faithful in his ministry. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He preached the full counsel of the Lord. And yet we see that here he wasn't guaranteed results in Corinth. No, in fact, he met the Jews who were the opposite. In verse number 6, it says, they opposed themselves and they blasphemed. Here's the people's indifference to the message. They opposed themselves. In other words, they resisted the preaching of the gospel. There was no sense of openness to receive the message that was preached. There was no interest in their hearts. There was a disinterest in the things of God. There was a hostility, in fact, to the word that was preached. They opposed themselves. They set themselves against the gospel. They also blasphemed. Such was their hatred of the message that they received that they openly displayed it. They blasphemed. That's a verb that carries with it a sense of force, a sense of hostility. It literally means that they railed against Christ. They railed against his message of salvation. They spoke evil of the gospel, and they saw no need in their life to hear and to obey the call to come to Christ. Paul faced opposition and hostility in his day. Today we still face hostility to the gospel. And we can be sure that there will always be those who will show an indifference. There will always be those who will reject hearing the gospel, reject the call of salvation. And it grieves our heart. Of course, it grieves our heart. So many neglecting the call to come to Christ, so many perishing, going to a lost eternity. Many rejected Paul's message. It didn't stop Paul from preaching. Paul still preached when he didn't see results for his labor. He was faithful to the Lord. He honored the Lord. And whoever honors God, God will honor. Well, the people's indifference, but Paul's innocence is seen. Paul's innocence in verse 6, it says he shook his raiment. He said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go on to the Gentiles. Paul's innocence. And what he was doing here was showing his hearers that day that he was innocent. He had fully proclaimed Christ. He had done all in his power to make known the gospel message. And therefore, he says, I am clean. This action of Paul shaking his garment reminds us of the words of Christ in Matthew 10:14. When Christ gave instruction about what the apostles and disciples were to do with those who rejected the message, Christ says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And this idea of shaking off the dust of your feet, of shaking the garment, was a symbol, was an action that the people were responsible for what they did with the Lord personally. Paul indeed says in verse 6 to these people, your blood be upon your own heads. That's a reminder tonight that each one of us individually is responsible for what we do with the Lord. You're not accountable for what your husband or wife does with Christ. You're not accountable for what your son or your daughter does with Christ. You're only accountable for what you have done personally with Christ. Your blood be upon your own heads. What have you done with the Lord? Are you rejecting him? Have you rejected him? Are you still rejecting him? Or have you accepted him? What have you done with the Lord? Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. Paul had a clear conscience before the people and before the Lord. And when he says those words, I am clean, he is testifying before God, I have done all in my power to proclaim the gospel. And indeed, this is a challenge, especially for those who have the responsibility for preaching the gospel. The Lord commands us that we're not to be accused of blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness, which relates to those who do not properly present the gospel, who proclaim a false gospel, do not present Christ and the truth. It is as if they're guilty of blood, the blood of their listeners on their hands. They're unclean because they've been unfaithful to the ministry of the Word of God. Paul says, I am clean. I've preached Christ to the best of my ability. In all of his fullness, I've been faithful to the message. I trust tonight that I have been faithful to the gospel. And I say in closing tonight, I exhort one who is without the Lord to come to Christ. I exhort you to see how you stand before the Lord in your sin. The Bible makes it so clear we're all born in sin. We're all shaping in iniquity. We're reminded that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're reminded that there is nothing that we can do by works to save ourselves. We're shown our sin in the gospel, but we're shown the Savior from that sin. We think about Christ, the one who lived the perfect life, the one who died that atoning death. And we see his blood tonight that was shed on the cross. That blood which has power tonight still has power to cleanse from every stain of sin. Why would you not embrace the gospel? Maybe you've rejected him time and time again in the past, and yet is God not merciful bringing you here tonight? Is God not merciful and long-suffering to give you another opportunity to get right with him? Don't delay any further. Don't put off getting right with God. Instead, tonight, repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in the Lord. He will save you from sin. Tonight, you could hear so many better preachers of the gospel, and yet we see that the gospel is not guaranteed on the man preaching. Instead, the Lord alone can bring salvation. It was prayed in the prayer meeting before the service, that prayer of Jonah. In Jonah 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. We need the Lord to come. We need the Lord to visit some heart tonight in order to bring salvation. They are principles for gospel preaching. It must be guided by the Spirit, grounded in the Scriptures, not always guaranteed success. But I leave you with this point. Not all rejected Paul's message. Not all in Corinth rejected the gospel, because in verse number 8, we read of Crispus, the chief ruler, who believed on the Lord with all his house. And we read of many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Praise God, why some will reject, others will mock, some will receive. Some will accept the invitation. And God then comes to Paul by a vision, gives them that great promise in verse number 10, for I have much people in this city. Paul, I have a people chosen out whom I'm going to save, and therefore preach the gospel. Give them the word of God that they can hear by faith and come to me. And may you claim that promise for this congregation, as you seek the witness for him in the days that lie ahead under a new minister. Keep faithful to the same message and claim that promise, I have much people in this city, that the Lord has much people in this community and in this area. Hold God to that promise, pray out that promise, and let us be faithful in serving the Lord. The Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to the Lord tonight, experience faith and life everlasting in him. We pray that the Lord will be pleased to speak his word and that his voice would continue on even as the voice of man goes silent. Let us bow and close our service tonight in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come again before thee this evening in prayer. We thank thee for this thy day. We thank thee for the privilege it has been to gather in thy house, to meet with fellow believers, but most of all to meet afresh with thee. We thank thee afresh that we have been reminded of the gospel, and we thank thee for all that Christ has done for us. We're reminded that our faith and our acceptance is found in him and him alone. And we can say, as the hymn writer, now none but Christ can satisfy, no other name for me. O Lord, tonight we pray as the gospel message has been preached, O Lord, that you would use it. O Lord, apply it to some heart tonight. Lord, we know that there will be those who will reject, but we pray believing, Lord, that you have a people to be saved. And so, Lord, come and do thine own work. We leave the matters and the issues of this service with thee. And we pray now as we would take our leave of this service that, Lord, you'd go with us. May we continue on in thy fear and in thy blessing throughout this week in thy will. Lord, bless us. Help us all to be those faithful witnesses for the Lord in this day. And we pray that we would see signs to follow the preaching of thy word. Lord, give us deciding grace that some soul may come on to the Lord tonight and find in him their all in all. Lord, bless us tonight. Do us good, we ask, as we go home. And may we glorify thee in all things till we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake alone we pray. Amen.